This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor of Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly, joining us from Philadelphia, but soon to be out in California. And we'll hear about that trip in just a moment. But John, the big story this week, of course, is the president's involvement into this debate over whether to construct a mosque near Ground Zero. At this point, how much do you think the White House regrets that he opened his mouth on this issue at all?
Obviously, because the president seems to be parsing his words in a manner that would do Bill Clinton proud. On the one hand, he weighs in very strongly at this, to applause from gathered Muslim leaders at the Ramadan dinner. And then days later, he said he didn't say they should build the mosque, simply they had the right to do it. Well, as my friend Kevin Kelly of Philadelphia's Driving says, that's like saying that the sky is blue. We all understand that. But given the circumstances, the choice of words, and the venue, the president certainly put himself on the side of those who would build the mosque and is paying a big political price. Already, Harry Reid, facing a very difficult re-election, is headed for the high grass, and Joe Lieberman, an independent who caucuses with the Democrat and is not up for re-election this year, questioned the wisdom of the decision. There's not many others who are embracing it, except, of course, Governor Charlie Crist of Florida, the independent candidate for the Senate.
John, a real quick follow-up. Some have said, including New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, that while Republicans are okay in opposing the mosque at this location, they shouldn't go too far. Do you think the GOP is at risk of overplaying its hand on this issue?
One is always at risk of overplaying something when they dwell on it and the invective sounds mean-spirited. I have not heard mean-spirited invective at all in this, just discussion of sheer responsibility and respect for others' feelings. We hear a lot about tolerance these days and about understanding the feelings of others. I would say, with respect to the Muslim community in New York, please understand the feelings of the New Yorkers and particularly the families of the 9/11 victims.
John, this issue, of course, is being injected into a number of campaigns in the midterm elections. You're headed to California, and this issue has injected itself into that race with Carly Fiorina running for the U.S. Senate against three-term incumbent Barbara Boxer. One of the latest polls shows Fiorina actually leading at this point. How big of an issue will that be out there, and what else do you want to find out about that race?
It's always a big issue anywhere there's a close race because everyone is going to ask their opponent, where do you stand? Are you on Obama's side on this? Carly Fiorina is already doing it in no uncertain terms. This is an important race. What I mean to find out is, how is her campaign being waged any differently from the last three Republicans that tried to defeat Barbara Boxer? What is different about this year, about her, and about her campaign? And why is it that we should not be hopeful of a Republican upset, but confident in the twilight days of the campaign? I'm going to ask the same questions of Meg Whitman, if I get some time with her, the Republican candidate for governor, against the ubiquitous Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown seemingly has been around forever in California politics. John, that'll be a very interesting report. We look forward to that next week. Another big issue, of course, that was on the radar screen this week, John, both literally and figuratively possibly, is the Iranian nuclear program and the likes of former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton saying that Israel's basically got until the 21st of this month if they want to strike militarily against this Bushehr nuclear plant. Others say that won't happen. What do you expect to happen?
My guess is that Israel will refrain this time, but Iran will have enough of a message that they may be a little more cautious and a little bit more open with some of those that they still trust on the world scene. Prime Minister Netanyahu does not have a strong political base in Israel, just like the last four of his predecessors who were in the Knesset with splintered parties and coalitions put together basically with some very weak glue. If he had a strong government behind him, the way the late Prime Minister Rabin did or David Ben-Gurion going back a few decades, yes, he might make a move like that. It would be very, very difficult for him to do that, particularly when his defense minister, Ehud Barak, is the leader of the Labor Party. I don't see it happening, with all due respect to my friend Ambassador Bolton.
couple more topics here, John, in our waning moments, and both of these head back to domestic policies. First of all, this week we saw primaries in a couple of states, pretty quiet primaries for the most part. The one probably getting the most interest is the Senate race in Washington State, where Patty Murray is facing potentially the toughest challenge of her career, also three terms in the Senate, against Dino Rossi, a figure who many believe was robbed of the Washington State governorship in 2004. He ran again unsuccessfully for that job in 2008, and now he's won the Republican nomination to challenge Senator Murray. It's definitely a left-leaning state. It hasn't gone for the Republicans in a presidential contest since 1984. How do you expect that race to shake out between Murray and Rossi?
Okay, Dino Rossi is someone I've interviewed before. He is someone who never wavers in his beliefs, which are small government, lower taxes, and yes, he is pro-life, although that issue has not come up that much. Nonetheless, he's someone who people identify with because he listens to them, and he's a very likable person. There's a lot of people in the Evergreen State who call themselves Dinocrats. They may not like Republicans. They vote Democratic most of the time, but they'll vote for him. Witness his strong performance in two bids for the State House. My guess is that Patty Murray will be defeated by a combination of the Dinocrats and the Tea Partiers, many of whom backed the third candidate in the race, former Washington Redskins great Clint Didier.
And John, of course, now we head towards a couple of high-profile primaries next week, namely in Arizona. John McCain being challenged by former Congressman J.D. Hayworth, who, of course, is on television a lot. He says some bombastic things, but to this point, McCain has retained his lead. Is there any reason to think McCain won't win the nomination next week?
No, McCain always stayed close to the state. He made a phenomenal coast-to-coast commute. His family is in Arizona. He never lost touch with the people. The same, obviously, could not be said of Senator Bennett of Utah. J.D. Hayworth has sounded too bombastic at times, and they've even unearthed a clipping of him telling people how to get into a tax-funded program a few years ago. My guess is it'll be McCain by a margin of 3-2. I just hope he stays voting the same way and talking the same way he has up to the primary.
And, John, over in Florida, of course, we won't see the major primary showdown between Marco Rubio and Charlie Crist now that Crist is an independent. Anything on the Florida primary ballot that piques your interest next Tuesday?
The governorship is interesting in the sense Bill McCollum, state attorney general, a very durable politician, faces multimillionaire health care executive Rick Scott, someone who was visible on TV in the fight against Obamacare. He's been spending a lot of money. I say the people go with a proven product they know, and it's McCollum by 10 points. Those are the races and some very interesting congressional races, and you heard it here first. Alan Grayson, who has become one of the Democrats' star performers by just irritating everybody on the other side, and quite a bit of C-SPAN viewers, will go down, and the Republican who will take him out as an unforgettable name, Daniel Webster.
We'll keep watching that. That race obviously won't go to the wire until November. But, John, enjoy your trip to California. We'll hear all about it next week. Thanks for being with us.
On my way to the left coast, but stopping for a respite with Philadelphia cheesesteak, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.